reading from the Gospel of St. John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom he had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there. Martha waited on them and Lazarus among those at table. Mary brought in a pound of very costly ointment, pure nard, with it anointed the feet of Jesus, wiping them with her hair. The house was full of the scent of the ointment. Then Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the man who was to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this ointment sold for 300 denarii, the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the common fund, and used to help himself to the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She had to keep this scent for the day of my burial. You have the poor with you always, but not always have me." Meanwhile, a large number of Jews heard that he was there, and came not only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Then the chief priests decided to kill Lazarus as well, as it was in his account that many of the Jews were leaving them and believing in Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. A few years ago, there was a study of Adolf Hitler which discovered that, as well as many other evils, he'd also helped himself to quite a lot of government money. He basically embezzled his own government. And what was odd is how many people reacted to this in various articles by being surprised that he was a thief. They knew he was evil, of course, but it seemed they expected that, at least being a fanatic, he would be in some ways dedicated to his cause, that he wouldn't just be helping himself to money which he had little use for anyway. I think it comes from a human instinct to confer a certain grandeur on evil. That's why we find this passage a bit disturbing. It's a piece that people gloss over. The Judas of, say, Jesus Christ Superstar is someone who wrestles with his conscience, who does evil out of a concern for what he thinks is good. There's no hint that he simply stole money, that he just wanted the money. No hint, too, that his reason for betrayal was simply for the 30 pieces of silver. Even in the Bible itself, we feel it's becoming a symbol. I think that's why John, who often acts as a great corrective to the synoptics, wants to make it clear. Judas was a thief, a common thief. It seems wrong. It seems to go against our ideas of evil that it should have some meaning. It's partly art. The bad guy in a movie is usually someone sophisticated. The Bond villain, for instance, is eloquent. He's intelligent. He has built up a great empire. And of course, he's a man of impeccable taste. You couldn't imagine a Bond villain who lived in a diet of nachos and Coke. And we do this because we want evil to have meaning. It's partly rationalising our own evil, or our own, sadness. We don't want to think that evil at root is simply pathetic. And it's partly because, after all, evil is powerful. Evil does so much in our life, in the world. Surely there's a sophistication there, a sort of intelligence. Well, even there, we look at Judas. Judas, his acts are really quite shabby. His words, though, are clearly clever. Why wasn't this ointment sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? He's too wise, he's too aware of what Jesus' message is to say, "This woman shouldn't be near you." He's too clever that way. He uses something which in fact fits with what Christ has been teaching them, to care for the poor. He uses the truth for evil purposes. C.S. Lewis suggests in the book That Hideous Strength that the devil, whose intellect is vastly greater than ours, is also someone who is no real use for intellect. Like Judas, it's something to use, not to respect. In the same way, there are people who have great talent but really abuse themselves and their talent. They lack respect for it because they forget that it is quite simply a gift. What we mean when we say someone is gifted because they're a giver. why so many great artists are rather embarrassing in their personal life. They don't respect their own art. They just use it. The devil uses intellect to persuade to evil, but then he drops it. He doesn't actually respect his own mind. Just like Judas. And also because we use this idea of grandeur evil, because it simply hurts to think that such terrors can be brought about by sad, pathetic, useless people. Or rather, people who've chosen to be sad and pathetic, even if they didn't need to be. I think we see this with the terrorist acts on September the 11th. The way we invest all sorts of meaning into these evils. We see it sometimes with particular murders, that people then have to show it's the result of a culture rather than simply one person doing something wrong. If a homosexual was murdered, then journalists happily write about the entire town as if an entire town queued up to involve in this murder. Homophobia, the homophobia of some town, some city, some country. We make too much of evil. We make it too meaningful. And Judas there seems to me exactly the sort of person who gets given too much respect. Doesn't respect himself. Of course, he could have been an apostle. Christ would not have chosen him if he didn't have the capacity to be an apostle. He didn't respect what he was. He abused his own gifts. He just wanted the money. He was a thief. It's sad and pathetic, but then if we remember how sad and pathetic evil is, we'd be less tempted. After all, very often it's pride that leads us to evil. There's nothing to be proud of in sin. It's sad, it's pathetic. That is tragic. The tragedy is of this world. Afterwards, there's no room for tragedy, just humility and the receiving of God's gifts, all that He gives us in Christ.